All right, we're going to get started this morning. Without further ado, who would like to pray for Rico this morning? Ashley, come here.
Oh, I was talking about Rico.
No, I was talking to you. Come on. Pray for your hubby. He needs you. He needs you.
I know, Noelle.
You're his help.
Noelle had wanted to pray, but she went downstairs.
I know. I offered her.
She wanted to pray for the food, and she didn't want to pray.
I told her we'll get her up here to pray for the food next time.
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning and that we can all come once again to learn more about you. And I just pray for Ricardo and for the word that God's given him that speak clearly through him and that all of us can learn something from it and that we'll put it into practice. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ashley. It's all yours, Rick.
All right. Okay, so like Bob said, I'd be talking. It's been really big on my heart that God really wanted me to talk about the Holy Spirit. I really had a different plan, and that plan obviously was not what God wanted me to do. So I'm going to stay faithful to what He wants me to do, and I think that.
Good idea.
Yeah, and I think that. Yeah, and like it says in the Word, I think that God does that sometimes to show His glory, you know, and show that it is from Him and it's not from the person up here, you know. And a lot of times I think we all, as people, put faith in other people. And sometimes we get let down because of that, you know, and it causes problems. It causes divisions. It causes factions and all these things that we're not supposed to be doing. With that said, let's open up to John 14, 15, and I'm going to read 15 through 17. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Word cannot accept Him, because it is neither Him nor knows Him, or it neither sees Him nor knows Him. It's funny that they call Him the Spirit, the Counselor, you know, because that's exactly how I feel like the Holy Spirit talks to me as a counselor. You know, thinking back and relating back to when I have spoken to a counselor, physical counselor, it was always somebody that was there to guide you, you know, to show you the direction you needed to be in, or to correct you and tell you, look, you need to stop doing this and get back on track, you know. I had a teacher, actually, that when I was in high school, and I still remember her name, and she's one of the only teachers I remember her name, and I think it's because of the impact she actually put on me, or that she had on me. You know, when I was a senior, I got really lazy. I got really wrapped up into working. You know, I had a car, and I was doing my own thing and everything, and I noticed my grades were going down, you know, and I really was starting to, it seemed like I was declining and stuff, and she noticed that my work was not the same. So she knew that my heart was not in it, you know, like it used to be, like she's seen me before. And I think sometimes we do that, and I think that that's why God wanted me to teach this and remind us, even though we've heard about the Holy Spirit countless times. The Holy Spirit is a very important foundation, part of the foundation in our walk.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a little bit more out of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. it says in here that the Holy Spirit or Jesus is our wisdom. We get our wisdom from him. You know, it refers to the Holy Spirit and Jesus as the truth. So we know that everything in the Word is the truth. When I read this, it reminded me of where I came from or what I've been through in my life. How at one point when I was coming to the church a long time ago, when Naya was a little baby, coming to this church, you know, I was involved in the church at the time. I was an usher, and I even was teaching primary at the time. When I look back at then, I feel like I did a lot of things then because of the law. You know, because my whole life from my childhood until then, I looked at everything in my walk as law. And because of that, I think that because I looked at it that way, I think it stopped me from bearing more fruit, stopped me from progressing in my walk. So I reflected back then, and I realized that a lot of things that I did, a lot was not to please God, not out of reverence for God, but out of fear only, out of being scared that I'm going to go to hell. That's how I looked at it. And also, out of fear that people were going to look at me a wrong way. So I started. It became a thing of a fear, and I realized that that's not how God wants us to operate. That's not what God wants in this walk. You know, that was at the beginning of my fatherhood, and I think that throughout me being a father, a lot of things were revealed to me, and in learning the Word at the same time. When I came back, I started to reflect then to now, you know, and then when I was working on this study, a lot of things came back to me. I even went through old notebooks when I first came back, things that I was reading or writing. A lot of times when people are speaking, I'll write things because it really, like, caught my attention and it really struck something in me. You know, it hurt. It almost, like, instantly convicted me. And that moment, while they're speaking, I would write down. And it was basically a short prayer. You know, Father, strengthen my desire to serve. You know, that's one of the things that I wrote. You know, strengthen my mental agility, you know, so I can learn, you know, more about you. So that way the more I learn, the more, because of what I've read that said that the more I learn, the more I seek you, that you will be revealed to me. And I really want to see you, God. And, you know, when I read all these things, it literally, you know, made my heart, like, sink like a good thing. I can't explain it. It made me feel really, really good because I saw that God gave me these things that I asked for, you know. And it wasn't because I was doing things out of fear. It was because I learned in getting in my Word and seeking guidance from, you know, like, I know you guys weren't, a lot of you ladies weren't here yesterday, but Keith talked about being fathers and sons and children, you know, in the body, not only physical parents, but physical parents, sibling, or spiritual parents, siblings within the body. You know, and what that entailed. And then it's funny that he was talking about that, because this is very, the Holy Spirit and showed me that the Holy Spirit was in me because of the things that I was doing with my children, how I was treating them, and how I noticed that though they do things sometimes that I don't agree with, I still have this love, this immense love for them. And it allows me to be that gentle father. You know, it allows me to have that grace on them. Because that's, and in all honesty, you know, that's because that's what I asked for of God. You know, or that's what I read, and that's what I was hoping that God would give me, that he would be gentle with me. Because the things that I've done, I don't deserve what he has given me, you know. And I know many of us can say the same thing, and I've heard many men here say the same thing, you know. And no, there's nothing we can do to earn what we have received, you know. And so in doing what we do here, you know, in serving, in teaching, we're not doing it to earn a title. We're not doing it to earn accolades or, you know, or anything like that. We're doing it because we feel like this is how we show God our love, you know. And that's what it says biblically, you know, and that, so that, and it makes total sense, because I felt like that's something that drives me. Like when I do things, when I serve in the body, or even when I do things out of the body, out of the church, in servanthood, I look at it as, if I don't do this because I feel like something's telling me to do this, I know I'm going to let my father down. And I want my dad to be proud of me, you know? And that's how we have to see God, you know? And that's how, and I think that the more we start humbling ourselves and see this like this, like that, the more these fruit from the Spirit come to us, you know? And the more we can walk in that, in those gifts, walk in that fruit, instead of walking in our desires, the fleshly desires, the sinful desires. And it's a constant battle. You know, Paul talked about it being a battle. A lot of people in the Word talked about it being a battle constantly. It's a daily thing. It's a daily struggle. And we need to realize that. And I think that the more we talk about and ponder and reflect on these basics, the better it is for our walk, the more it reminds us. And it almost becomes like, you know, sports. People talk about sports, like Pastor Don talked about sports, you know, doing these movements, it becomes a muscle memory thing. And then after you're doing it for so long, it becomes a natural thing. And you don't even think, it just happens, you know. Same thing in the military, you know, you learn how to do certain things, and it's constant repetition. You know, it sucks sometimes. It's, you know, it's sometimes it's agonizing and painful, but then it comes to a point where you hit this moment, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I see why my coach made me do that. Wow, I see why my sergeant or chief made me do that constantly. I hated it, and I hated him for that. But I see now why, because now I'm not going to mess up. Now it's just a part of me. And that's why I think it's important for us to constantly get reminded of things, look at this stuff, and remind each other. Be there for each other. You know, a lot of times, you know, things get revealed to us. And again, that's the Holy Spirit, you know, showing us things. And sometimes what we do is we think about it, talk about it, but we don't act on it like we're supposed to. You know, when you see somebody doing something wrong, for example, instead of talking about it, and I don't mean talking about it to them. Instead of talking about it to others, or even thinking about it and not doing anything about it, be there for that person, because it's going to come out. And if you're not the person to let it out to them, somebody else is going to do it. But what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and talk more about that person? Or are you going to actually be that gentle person, like God is gentle with us? Are you going to be there for them and help them and strengthen them and re-motivate them, you know? What kind of person are you going to be in that? You know, the Holy Spirit helps us to operate in that gentleness, helps us to operate in the gifts. So when you're not operating in the gifts, you're doing the opposite, and the opposite obviously is sin. You know, and I have it in here, and I'm probably like going further than I wanted to. As far as talking on that, but I guess I'm going to just go to it, because it's right now it just keeps on hitting me. Like, right? So we're going to pause on Corinthians and go to Galatians 5:16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. You know, before I keep going, living by the Spirit, you know, living by the Spirit, and it'll not let us go into that sinful nature, not let us go into those desires. That means getting into your word, getting, you know, doing what God has wants you to do, you know, knowing what God wants you to do. You know, so when you know, and it's going to come up here, when you know that you're not doing what God wants you to do, that should be like a red flag in you saying, okay, I'm doing something wrong here. Let's get back to the basic and see, reflect, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And am I going to keep on in this and continue to operate in my flesh? Or am I going to follow the Holy Spirit telling me that this is wrong? So what am I going to do about it? And it says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law or under law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's a lot of crazy stuff right there, right? But some of it is not so crazy. Some of it is stuff that we all experience, sometimes daily. I know I have. I've gotten upset or been jealous before of something, you know. I've seen myself in factions, you know, and I think that sometimes when we get into those points, we need to find, and that's why I said this whole repetition thing is important. Learning this stuff is important, because then you can point that out by reading this and constantly looking and pondering on what all this means, you know, looking into it, dissecting it. It causes it to be in you to the point where it tells you, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit says, look, you're educated on this. Why are you doing it still? You know? And so in that, know that you're recognizing the Holy Spirit. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit in you telling you. That's Jesus telling you that you're doing something that you're not supposed to. Now let's do something about it. And see, he does it in a gentle way that you almost sometimes are passive of it, you know? I know sometimes I find myself that way. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, that's, you know, I just sometimes ignore it. But it's like, because you think it's just you and you're, you know, or you go by that, the thing that the world says that, you know, everybody does it or, you know, all this stuff like that. No, it's not that. If the Holy Spirit is constantly telling you this and you're feeling a type of way that, you know, you feel convicted about it, then it's time to do something about it. And it, I mean, sometimes it doesn't mean that you have to. I don't think that God is intending that, you know, you go and some of us, you know, do. It's not just one thing. Sometimes it's more than one thing. It doesn't mean go and attack everything all at once. Like, you know, it's like, you know, you can't, a drunk guy can't just stop, a drunkard cannot just stop drinking. You know, it's a process that you got to go through, you know, and so you got to start little by little. And that's why I say with confidence that God is a gentle God. He's a patient God. And he loves us so much that he's willing to put up through all that and help us little by little, with little, one little thing at a time. As long as we keep on pushing towards trying to be better a little bit at a time. You know, it doesn't all have to be in one day. Boom. You're super holy now, you know. That's not what God wants. You know, we're not made holy by quitting cold turkey. You know, we're set apart holy, which is holy, by seeking the Lord and learning about him, so that way we can discern what he has intended for us, what his will is for us in our lives. Yes.
Let me start off by saying hail Buckeyes. Anyways, no, what you were talking about earlier, how you say sometimes you don't know why, but, you know, and I feel that way too, because, you know I get up at 4 a.m. to go to work. I get there early, but a lot of times that's because I want to pray. Fred does it at home with coffee, but I do it at work with tea. But, you know, you put on your spiritual armor because you're getting ready for the day, but there could be times where the enemy's so subtle, like a couple days ago by, and you're like, hey, man, I'm feeling great, no attacks, I'm really feeling the joy and the love. And so you kind of like put your shield down and you kind of put your sword away, mm-hmm. you know, that complacency, because everything looks cool on the Western Front. And then, boom, you get hit,
right.
you know. So we got to be careful not to get complacent just because things are going well, you know. You get blessings.
Amen.
Things are going great. You're hearing yep. great news. And then when you least expect it, that's when the enemy will come in and just zap you, you know. So yeah. I was feeling that when you were talking about that, because I do the same thing.
Okay, so I'm going to read on because I was supposed to be 5:16 through 26. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now it goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And these are the things that, you know, we should really be doing and we should really be living examples of. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is such a perfect description of a lot of how I see God. You know, what He does for me in my life. And that's why I told you in the beginning when I was reflecting, you know, there's times where it's crazy. Like, I feel like a lot of things are going on. There's a lot of stresses. Through a worldview, you'd say, man, that guy's going through a lot. He's messed, you know, this is all jacked up, you know. But I understand, but I think that through learning and through gaining the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you learn that none of that is the origin of joy. You know, God is the origin of joy. None of that is going to give you peace. You know, we hear about the stories about people searching for richness, you know, or searching to be the best at something, you know. That's not going to give you that joy, you know. And then you hear the sad story that comes after that, you know. That's not going to bring you peace. A lot of people say, you know, I'm going to work. And then when I hit 55 or 61 or whatever the retirement age is, depending on your generation, then I'm going to retire and live it up.
Amen.
Right? Not to say that that can happen, can't happen, but I can guarantee you that if you do it right and you do earn something like that, you know, that which is a blessing, but I can guarantee you most people that are doing that and are doing things like God has intended them to do, they're not only going to, they're going to enjoy that retirement, but they're still going to work. Because we have an obligation, and that obligation doesn't stop when we retire, you know, and we have fruit that if we don't use, it's going to rot, you know, and then when it rots, it affects you, you know. When you leave rotten stuff in areas, it tends to spread and make everything else rot around you, you know. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There's big conditions right there that we really got to think about and take to heart. Being conceited, you know, provoking and envying each other, I mean, that's when you get to that point where you feel like, you know, you're getting to that jealous point, or you're getting to that point where you feel like, or you hear yourself. You know, I listen to myself a lot when I talk, and that's why a lot of times I'm not the type of guy that can come up with something right there and then there. You know, like when it comes to arguments, I'm horrible at it because I don't think of stuff that fast. Because I want to make sure that everything that comes out of my mouth is good, because I know that if it's not, it can cause a world of more problems because of that. And the only reason I know that is because I read it in here, and when you believe that everything in here is the truth, it's scary to do the wrong thing, you know, and it's it sucks because you don't want to let God down. And so I think that we need to really think about these things and ponder on what these things really mean. You know, I mean, you hear some of these words, and I know a lot of us grew up in Detroit, Southwest Detroit, didn't have the education that some people may have had, you know. But that shouldn't stop you. You shouldn't be stopped by that at all, because God's going to provide you. You ask for him for knowledge of what his will is for you, for knowledge of the word. You're going to learn, you know, and you're going to learn what these words mean. I mean, there's tons of avenues to learn. There's people that you can go to and count on to learn things, you know, and I think that a lot of people are stopped because of that, you know, are at a stopping point because they don't understand, or they just can't comprehend. And I think that it's because maybe sometimes we're focusing on things that we don't need to be focusing on. Maybe we're trying to do too much too fast, you know. Sometimes you just got to take a little step at a time. You know, you got to learn, just like a baby drinks milk first and then food. If he was to drink food at first, what happens to a baby if you give him food, regular food? You can kill the baby, you know? And when you kill the baby, then he doesn't have that opportunity to be what he was meant to be, you know? And I think that we really have to be careful that we're not killing those babies, you know, as well, you know, that we're helping and giving them the right formula, you know, just as much as a parent does for a baby, we should be doing, you know. And I think that that's what one thing that Keith, it really impacted me, that Keith hit on yesterday, that, you know, when we get people that come into the church, we have to really be careful that we don't try to overdo it with them. We don't try to overtask them. We don't try to over show, you know. It's almost like you have to give them things a little bit at a time, and you have to be patient, and you have to be gentle. I mean, God is gentle with us when we were really not doing what he wanted us to do, you know?
I learned early on, Holy Spirit showed me that even God's word spoke out of the Holy Spirit's timing can do harm. And because the Holy Spirit has to prepare that soil, prepare that heart mm-hmm. to receive and understand the truth. Yeah. And God had to go behind me in my earlier walk, cleaning up more messes that, you know, it's kind of like giving a child who's, you know, a young man who's just lifting weights, starting to learn weights, and expect him to push 220. I mean, you can really mess up his muscles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the same thing spiritually. If you give somebody God's word out of God's timing, you can do harm, because it can cause all kinds of negative reactions and frustration and self-loathing and different
confusion,
things,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, now with that, we got some information, some more knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we know that the Holy Spirit, knowing that we're saved and that the Holy Spirit is in us, we need to understand that he sees it. He sees us. You know, not only that he's in us, but he sees. You know, and I don't know if you guys know, but I mean, I'm sure you guys know, but when I say that the Holy Spirit sees you, that means that Jesus sees you. You know, that means that he has witnessed things that you don't want nobody to see. You know, and that's like really like hard, because I know that a lot of us, I know I do, struggle with that, because it's like you almost like sometimes I just want to sit there and cry and yell out, like, take this craziness out of me, you know, because it hurts so much. But sometimes we just do the wrong thing, you know. And I think that, you know, God knows, and that's why I think he's so gentle, is he knows that we have that in us, you know, and he knows just like he knows what we're meant to be, he knows that we're going to mess up. He knows that we're going to miss the mark, you know. But what do you do after that, you know? Are you striving to fix that? Are you striving not to miss that mark? Or are you being it talked about, well, I read a little bit about things and I did a little bit of research about during the time of when John was writing, there's a Gnostics movement. And basically, a lot of it was taking God out of the, taking Jesus out of the picture. And it was like, you could do anything you want because whatever you do in your flesh doesn't count against your spirit. And we need to be careful that we don't become that. You know, we need to be careful that, you know, that we really take it to heart that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. Maybe we should listen and at least to help us win the battle that day, you know, because that's all we could do is fight the battle that is at hand and not the battle that is 2 weeks away, you know, not the battle from yesterday, you know. And so we gotta focus on that so that way we don't get stressed out about what was and what is going to be, you know. In Galatians, still in Galatians 6, 9 through 10, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, I read this. This is, I think it's very encouraging. Because God knows that we're going to become weary, you know, and he knows that sometimes we overdo things. You know, sometimes things get so repetitive that we forget why we're doing it. And I think that we need to remember that there's a reason why we're doing this. There's a reason why God is having us do these repetitions. There's a reason why we're learning things over again, you know. So that way it is ingrained in us, you know, and it says right here, and then this is another important thing for me that I really think is important is, and this is, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. It doesn't say, let us do good all the time. It doesn't say we always have to have opportunity to let us do good, you know. It says, as we have opportunity. It doesn't mean overdo it and sacrifice other things in your life, you know. I think that's important that we need to find a balance. And I think that in getting into the Word and learning and seeing that it's not all about one thing. It's about it's not about one thing that we want, or it's not about something that somebody else wants. It's about what God wants in our life. It's about what his will is for our life. And I think that the more we realize that what we want or what his will is for our life, we'll learn that. And I think, I mean, it's happened to me is I want what God wants in my life, you know, and because of that, I'm going to try harder to figure out what his will is for me. So we're going to get back to 1 Corinthians. We were talking about remembering where you came from, right? And then so moving forward from that in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And, you know, I think that that is important that we realize that there's nothing we can do. I mean, we can prepare everything we want and try the hardest to put what we want in something, you know, when it comes in regards for what God wants us to do. But what God wants you to do is what's going to happen. And I think that that's why, when I was reading this, I think that God was telling me, like, we're not going to talk about what you wanted to talk about. This is more important right now because this is something that we need to all ingrain into our DNA
Rico,
and remember daily.
I think that is one of the best verses that you could find to end with, because if you read that story, he's in Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back, where was he coming from? Athens.
Right.
That's where if you read the verse or the section before that while he's in Athens, he gives the best dissertation on the Christian faith I have ever heard. If I wanted to tell somebody, explain what the Christian faith was when he was in Athens on Mars Hill, explaining it, he gave the best. But you know what it said? Only a handful were saved. To them, it was just a theological discussion. And it kind of hurt him, I'm sure. And then what's he do? When he gets to Corinth, his heart is broken. He said, look, I have nothing to offer, no great words, just Jesus Christ crucified. I'm here to be a servant.
And that's the greatest word.
I think that is the greatest thing that we can do. It's not our words like you've been teaching all day. It's his work that
Amen.
Does it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Give him a hand. Thank you. Yep. Great. Great job, Rico. I think you've challenged all of us. next couple weeks, we have Brian up for the next 2 weeks, so give him a hand. That's right. So you can't let us down now. You've got your hand in ahead of time. You owe us. You owe us, brother. All right. Rico, who would you like? Hold on, everybody. Hold on 1 minute, please. Rico, who would you like to close?
I'm ready. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you did die on the cross for our sins, Lord, that you paid it all, Father God. While we were still sinners, it says that you died for us, Lord. You knew where we were at, Lord, where we are at, Lord. Lord, you call us more than conquerors, Lord. We are set free by your blood. Lord, we thank you that you did that for us, Lord, that you continue to give us life and speak volumes into our lives, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, that you care for each and every one of us, Lord, no matter what sin we commit or are going to commit in the future, Father, that you forgive us, Lord. So we thank you just for Ricardo and his amazing message today, Lord, that really came from the heart and came from the word, Father. Lord, we thank you just that you've been teaching him and continually growing his walk with you, Father God, with his family. Lord, just thankful for everyone here. Lord, just pray that we can just walk in obedience to you, Father, because you are good. You are a good God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.